fine name.
ESPN 97.5.
Damn right.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media station. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Prime Social. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John, Lance, and Dell live at Prime Social. 7801 Westheimer. Need you to come on by and get here and start playing. Let's go. 7801 Westheimer. It is awesome. The play is going strong. It always is on the weekends. Open 24 hours from Thursday at 11 until Monday morning at 6 a.m. So get on over here. If you're looking for something to do overnight, this is it. This is the place to be. Come on. Let's go. All right. So Lance, by the way, we never got to it. We were talking about the Texans and selections. 23rd overall pick. Draft down?
Trade down?
Yeah, I would.
Trade down.
Yeah, because they need corner and they need I just think the way the board's probably going to break, you can still get a good offensive lineman. You just can't draft left tackle. The fact is, if you try to draft left tackle there, you're going to end up reaching. So just draft good.
Well, that was the thought, too, with Dwayne Brown, but this isn't that Dwayne Brown draft.
No.
That was a strong tackle draft.
It was considered a strong one. There's a lot of guys who didn't end up being great. But, yeah, so apparently this guy, Titus Howard, may get some first round. I was hoping he'd get to the Texans in a second, but I hear he could go to the Eagles in the first, which is he's the Dwayne Brown. He's coming from Alabama State, very athletic, raw, but he's actually a little more technically sound than Dwayne Brown was coming out. That's the guy that may be the Dwayne Brown of this draft. And I was thinking he was going to be a second round rounder for the Texans, but now it's looking like he's not going to make it to the Texans. So I would try
about
to trade
the Texans
back.
Taking him in the first round?
Man, that's awfully high.
Well, if he turns out to be a serviceable, if not good, left tackle,
Texans,
I don't care.
You remember the Texans traded back when they got Dwayne Brown.
Yeah.
They actually were able to trade back and still get Dwayne Brown.
What pick, 27th?
Yeah, I think so. They traded back, and the Cowboys traded up and got Mike Jenkins, and then the Texans still got Dwayne Brown. And I remember, because I ended up hearing about how it went, that was a guy that, and that was a draft. After Dwayne Brown, the best guy after that was Tony Hills, who was drafted in the fourth. He was literally the last left tackle that was a legitimate starter. And Alex Gibbs apparently pounded the table and just said, we have got to have this guy. Alex had just been brought in to fix the running game, and he said, I have to have this guy. And Alex pushed hard, and they got Dwayne Brown. That was one of the reasons why. The Texans in this, for me, I would trade back because you know what? You need at least two corners. You need at least two offensive linemen. I think you need a running back. And I think you can find – so here's how trade backs work. Fans always want you to trade up and get a splashy name and give away picks. The smart teams will say, all right, so, John, if a team is drafting at 23, they may say, we could trade back to 34, nine spots, because we have seven guys all with a 65 grade. If their grade scale is a 65, we've got five or six guys all with 6.5s at our position of needs. And so, so when you look at your board and you say they're all 6.5 at corner and at tackle, let's just say, we've got five guys. We feel like based on the teams behind us, their needs, because you look at the teams real fast and you say, we feel like if we traded back nine spots, these six guys aren't all going to go off the board based on what these other teams need. And so you trade back, and you may still get a player that you would have potentially drafted there or that's in the same class, and you pick up a draft pick. That's why trading back is smart, because your draft board, you have to do your homework. First of all, you work on these trades beforehand sometimes. You say, hey, if in this is why Mike Mayock, we had this – this was interesting. Sitting in the room with Bucky Brooks and Daniel Jeremiah, who have been NFL scouts, we were in a meeting for one of the shows, and they were talking about how tough it's going to be for Mike Mayock because it comes hard and heavy. Like it's 10 minutes in the first round, right? And then it goes to 7 minutes in the second and 5 minutes. And you working the phones, you don't have a lot of time, like deal or no deal. Are we doing it? I need a second to think. Hold on. And you got to look at your board. You got to anticipate, these are the players we have on our board. These are the team needs of the teams behind us. You know, what are the odds of them snaking our guys? And you got to make decisions on the fly. And that's why it's like
you could make that call like five picks ahead of time too, where you say,
yes,
hey, this is one possibility.
So I give Rick Smith a lot of credit for this. Yeah. Rick Smith called Sashi Brown, and Rick Smith had a deal before the draft, you know, kind of agreed upon that, hey, if the Browns don't have their guy at 12 that they want, they will deal it to the Houston Texans, and the Texans will move up. If the Texans still want it and the Browns still want it, they'll do that. So they Rick already did his homework on that one, and that's why they were ready to move up for Deshaun Watson. And the Browns tried to kind of back out at the last second. Rick stood strong and said, hey, a deal's a deal, Sashi. You said we could do this. And Sashi relented and gave up the pick, and it became Deshaun Watson. So
you know,
have
Sashi
to do your
should have
too.
Told him, screw you. Deshaun's there. I'm going to take him.
Don't worry. I brought that up. The Sashi truthers, you have no idea. There's a subculture of people who down John Dorsey as much as they can, that this is all Sashi's team. John Dorsey did nothing but just – Sashi gave him all the riches, and John did anything that a blind monkey
guys.
Could have picked all these guys. I know. He's flipped the whole roster.
Yeah.
So, oh, really? Sashi? You mean the guy who presided over 1-31?
Yeah.
The guy who was too chicken bleep to actually make a pick and just traded everything away? This is the guy that gets the credit for actually picking a 6-foot quarterback first,
right,
who no one had as the first pick? Out of here. I'm not going to listen to that nonsense. And it's because analytics guys, the analytics nerds, I'm a believer in analytics.
Now, he did leave him in a good spot with the draft.
Yeah, great.
No,
at some point, you got to sit down
and actually pick guys. Yeah, but he didn't do that. No, no question.
And then you got to pick the right
guys. But Dorsey
guys.
Was left in a nice situation. He was left in a nice situation.
After they failed a lot of their
picks. With a 1-31 team.
Yeah, go look at the picks that Sashi Brown made.
Yeah.
It's not great.
Yeah.
It's not great. And now what's happening is that entire analytics movement is behind the scenes trying to take credit for everything and take credit for Baker Mayfield. Oh, yeah, John Dorsey didn't actually make the picks.
Listen, I know for a fact – those analytics guys that are still there that he hasn't fired.
He can't fire.
John Dorsey and the rest of the football people are not down with those guys.
I know, and it doesn't matter because the owner loves them.
Yes.
So that's what – see, I think Cleveland is a volatile situation. I think they're explosive upwards, but I think they're explosive outwards too, where they could end up having a really good year this year. I mean, there's some really good core pieces in place if Baker's not a – kind of a flash in the pan type his first year. And there's always a potential that he is, but
I don't know. You
have some big personalities.
Pretty good football player.
Your quarterback and your two wide receivers are monster personalities, and it's going to be interesting to see how that goes between with the targets.
Yeah, but listen, though. How are you going to cover Odell, Jarvis, Callaway, Joku, Hunt. I'm telling you, somebody's going to be open.
Yeah, when they throw to Callaway, I still think Callaway's got to try not to get himself kicked out of the league.
Well, no, but he was a target last year. He was a target. But even still, if it's Callaway's not there, even still, how many weapons they have?
You got to throw to Joku.
Okay, rank weapons, in the league. They're up there.
Well, you're saying Hunt. I mean, what about Chubb?
Well, Hunt and Chubb.
Yeah. So, no, they got...
Oh, how about putting Hunt in the slot instead of Callaway?
From a weapon standpoint...
How about putting Hunt in the slot instead of Callaway, and you got Chubb in the backfield?
How about
if I'm Freddie
Jarvis,
Kitchens, I don't...
Well, Jarvis should be in the slot.
Okay, then wherever.
No. They've got a ton of... My thing is, it sounds good on paper, but you got a lot of mouths to feed then. You got two mouths you got to feed, and you got to make sure... Joku's probably not getting a ton of catches. I know on paper he should, but you got to make both those divas happy at wide receiver.
Fine. But a young quarterback will sometimes rely on his tight end, too. But there's plenty of balls for everybody. There's a lot of possessions. There's a lot of flows.
Most of them need to go to your two loudest wide receivers.
Yes, yes.
But if Baker's smart, and I'll give Baker a lot of credit, in college, he targeted his number one guys. That's what he did. He didn't mess around with it. Mark Andrews couldn't even get a sniff until his last year, the tight end. So Baker targets his guys. Deshaun Watson, Deshaun's going to be better when he stops targeting just DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, get some more weapons.
Well, that's the problem is I think he actually does trust Will Fuller. Will Fuller's had a lot of drops, but Deshaun still trusts him.
Deshaun's the only one to trust him.
Yeah.
Because he ain't
on the field now. That's a problem. And that's why I think wide receiver is a lock, that they draft wide receiver.
I do too, but not.
No, I think it'll be fourth round or beyond.
Yeah. All right, time for me to talk right now about Absolute Marble and Granite and Jeff Aronoff. There's a lot of marble in this place. I'm pretty sure Jeff Aronoff probably did it. I don't know that for a fact, but if there is marble in this city, I would imagine he had something to do with it. It somehow, he touched it somehow, because I don't know how else you get marble, if you want to know the truth. How do you get tile? How do you get patios? How do you get how do you get rock hard? This is not a Four Hymns commercial. It's an Absolute Marble and Granite commercial. That's right. What I need you to do is go to give him a call, and Jeff Aronoff will come to your home. A new outdoor patio, how's it sound? A new outdoor kitchen, how's it sound? New fireplace, new countertops, new vanity, new and if you're going to make, and he's got the latest, and make it look as rich as possible. And guess what, folks? It's going to be at a great price, because right now you're getting 20% off because you're a 97.5 listener. You're looking for the best way to upgrade that house. It's Absolute Marble and Granite, my man Jeff Aronoff. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. Tell them you heard it right here, and get that 20% off at Absolute Marble and Granite.
Restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Prime Social, this is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back, Prime Social. John, Lance, and Dell. Raheel's going to join us in about 40 minutes right here. In the meantime, if you want to get in, Harrison's on the board. Harrison actually woke up today. How about that?
Yeah, I didn't wake Harrison up, but I did text a pertinent individual to make sure that we were all set for today.
Harrison, you woke up today? That's great. Congratulations. One day in a row. Okay?
Thanks, Harrison. He doesn't want to get involved with you.
It's smart.
It's a good decision, Harrison.
It's a wise decision.
God, I wish all producers were like Harrison shut up.
What? That's not how it goes. That's kind of not my role to shut up.
So I guess you're just going to avoid the fact that the Astros are on a huge losing streak by their standards?
It is.
And the bats have gone silent?
No, I'm totally disgusted with this season already.
Thank God there's not a sports map article today.
There was one yesterday.
There was one yesterday about who was
Colin
it again?
McHugh. Yeah, Colin McHugh. The bats Cy of, McHugh.
The bats have gone silent.
Some kind of wonderful Colin McHugh.
Yep.
Rom-com Colin McHugh.
No, he's all that.
He is all that.
He's
Rachel Lee Cook's character.
It was an 80s rom-com.
What? What are y'all talking
about? He was right there. That third starter was right there.
And the Astros.
But you never knew it.
You couldn't tell.
Did you write that? Is that your article?
No, Raheel came up with that when we were because I was saying, we were looking at Paxton. We were looking at all. We're looking.
That's right. I was there for when he said that. Yeah. That's right.
It's like,
that's actually really funny. That's actually really funny because, like, oh, my God, this entire time it was you mowing the lawns for money. And I didn't know that you'd be such a great boyfriend. Patrick. What's his name? He was also one of the doctors.
Patrick Dempsey.
Dempsey, yeah.
Yeah.
Remember the kid was mowing lawns?
Can't Buy Me Love?
That's it. That's who.
He was right there in front of you the whole time.
Can't Buy Me Love. That's who. Yep. He was just mowing lawns right there in the.
You can buy love. That's all you got to do. Pay that man his money. All right? You can buy love. You can buy a third starter, love. Okay?
Do you miss Charlie Morton at all?
So let me ask you this.
Do you miss Charlie Morton at all?
Let me ask
you. Have you forgotten about Charlie Morton already?
Screw Charlie Morton. He's with the
– He ain't loyal. He a hoe.
Oh, yeah, man.
He's in first place.
Who ain't loyal, John or Charlie?
Well, both.
Charlie Morton ain't loyal.
You ain't loyal. That man got you a fake ring.
Multiple fake rings.
He got you multiple fake rings.
Yeah. And the one your wife didn't get. How about that?
Oh, and
I hate to remind her.
And you mentioned Can't Buy Me Love. You know, the woman who didn't – the girl who didn't identify Patrick Dempsey as the boyfriend she needed – sad story. She's dead.
What?
Amanda Peterson, who played Cindy Mancini, died.
She did? When?
Like 4 years ago.
Wow.
Was she in that little love ring Raheel was in?
No, she was a. She did love her drugs, though.
Oh, she did?
Was she a pro wrestler?
No.
Oh, I always, when people pass prematurely, I wonder if they're pro wrestlers.
I get that.
Let me ask you this question, okay? Colin McHugh's 3-1. His ERA is under 2. He's
It's a nice start.
But let's say Colin McHugh wins 18 games this year.
Oh my God,
that's a lot of games.
18.
What do you mean?
That's
he's won 19 before, and he's got a better team. He won 19 before, and he's got a better team.
It's one time in his career. That's the outlier. Gun to your head, you'll get splattered across the wall.
Do you know that he?
You can't say 18.
Do you know he's never had a losing record here?
How many wins did Justin Verlander have last year?
19.
Yeah, he was right at that number as an ace.
Yeah. And?
That's not 18 is hard to get to nowadays.
Okay. Let's say he wins 17 or 16.
15.
Oh,
15's a good
I'm going over 15.
15's a good season. What'd your boy Garrett, the $100 billion man Garrett Cole get last year?
Garrett Cole was 15. Garrett Cole won 15.
Verlander won.
You talked about how great that season is.
Verlander won 16 last year.
16 and Cole won 15. Right?
I have to look that
up. It's the most wins in Houston history, and those two guys didn't even get
to
18 wins. 18. Colin McHugh.
No, Colin McHugh, 18 wins.
I'm
going to
say 12 and a half is his number this year.
Garrett Cole won 15.
That's not disrespectful. 12
and
a half is
15 and 3 or 15?
15 and 5.
You got to have your offense show up every time when you pitch, too.
Lance, I scoff at your 12 wins.
Well, you had Deshaun with 48 touchdowns.
And was he wrong? Was he wrong, Lance?
Yes, he was wrong. By like double. I can't trust John's outrageous win totals.
Okay, how many homers did I have Carlos Correa hitting?
40, didn't you?
Yes.
And?
Yeah, well, that was awful.
Oh, I didn't know he was going to get
Colin
hurt.
Colin McHugh is a Cy Young candidate with 18 wins, 100%.
Okay. He should have been an all-star last year
as
a reliever. He
like
should
Jeremy
have been
Robertson.
An all-star, but A.J. shunned him. Okay,
he wasn't even a closer.
No, so what? He had a great ERA. He was a bubble all-star last year. And his whole season was outstanding. He's a 19-game winner. All I'm asking you is this. Let's say he wins 15 games. And Forrest Whitley comes up, and he's good, okay? But he ain't taking the number 3 spot. Are you okay with the Astros going into the postseason with Verlander, Cole, and if he's a 15-game winner – And McHugh is your third starter in the postseason.
Well, yeah, you're telling me, I don't care how many wins, what you're telling me is he's had a very successful season. So the answer would be yes.
Yeah.
If you say he's going to be. I just don't think the odds are great that he's going to be in this level over the course of a season. I just don't.
Well, he tends to get injured.
Yeah, and he's not a high innings guy either.
Yeah. No, he's six innings. He's a six inning guy.
Yeah, but. This is a starter who's going to hit six innings.
Well, he averaged in his last full season of starting 5 2/3.
See, that's why six-inning guys, it's going to be hard for six-inning guys. You have less time for your team to score enough runs and then more time that they have to hold on to leads. That's why it's going to be hard to have that win total because too much is in the bullpens.
Yeah, but you'd be surprised.
Court.
Starters nowadays, it's not much more. And even really good starters, they average six plus. He averaged 5 2/3 his last time he starts last full time starter.
Yeah, it's barely
and he wasn't and,
it's barely qualified to get the win.
Yeah,
that's why the win total is going to be. What you're asking is if he continues to do a quality job, would I be okay with him? I say yes, but provisionally. I mean, I still think you're going to have another pitcher in their start.
Well,
I just think historically you know who Colin McHugh is.
Well, here's the deal. Is if he continues to pitch this well, it's not – you know what? Jeff Luhnow will love that he doesn't have to give up young talent to go get that third starter. Or if Forrest Whitley comes up and he's outstanding and he's just unbelievable, then maybe Forrest Whitley moves into that spot. The point being is the thought was, and even Jim Crane said this in the preseason, hey, guys, we got until the trade deadline. Everybody slow down. I mean, I know, yeah, we didn't pick up that third guy that y'all wanted, but we got there's guys, there are going to be guys out there. And you know what? You may be in a position with Whitley, even with Corbin Martin, maybe Miley, the way this dude's throwing, I don't know, but you may be in a position where you don't have to go get that third guy.
No, I think it's possible.
That's possible.
I think it's possible. I just think it's early in the season. I don't want to leap to too many conclusions this early in the season. There's still a long way to go, and your bullpen has not been fatigued at all. And you know,
you were at 790 too long. You can't evaluate a baseball season until September 31st.
No, you can't evaluate it. And we're not even the end of April, and you've got him at 18 wins and going into the postseason.
Whatever you say, Michael Connor.
Yeah. Okay.
Michael right. Connor is my friend.
Oh, you know what you should be part of? The A-team.
Okay. Dun, 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 dun. Why does it always turn into Why does it turn into the A team?
And it's always here, too, for whatever reason.
Why do you do that all the time, Del?
I didn't bring it up. He did. I just love
you
the music.
You were just quick.
Why do you do this?
He gets so excited. He loves that.
If you notice it, nothing on this show brings him joy other than when he gets to fire off sound bites about us and when he gets to hum A-Team music. Yeah. This man, nothing makes him happier than doing A-Team.
Relax, Murdoch.
Who am I?
Oh, I guess you're Hannibal.
He's Face?
Hannibal.
No, he's not Face. Raheel thinks he's Face, but he's not.
And who are you?
Of course, I'm B.A. Baracus. I know what I am.
All right, Lance. You know who Lance is?
I don't know.
Patio Boy.
Yeah, that's fine. If that was an 18, I'll be happy to be that. Because I do have a patio, and guess where I'll be tonight? I'll be out on that patio watching a little basketball, watching a little baseball, having a cold drink, probably eating cheese, pizza, and fish because it's that Friday. But I will tell you this right now. There's nothing better than having that spot to go to in my home, and that's Texas Custom Patios. You know, they can do so many – I've got a fire pit that we turn – we don't have to use it much, but when you get a chance to use it and you get a chance to sit around the fire pit, oh, that is such a great feeling. When it gets down into like the low 50s is the perfect fire pit weather. And we get some of that going on. It was there this morning, as a matter of fact. But at Texas Custom Patios, you get an unbelievable structure built onto your home to where it looked like it was built there from the very, very beginning. They match it perfectly with the roof, the pitch of the roof. They work within the standards of your homeowners association to make sure that it meets code. They do such a great job of being hyper-focused on every bit of the details of that patio, whether it's a patio or an outdoor kitchen, whether it's a super high-end job, because they do mega high-end jobs for these huge houses, or a house like mine is 2,400 square feet, and they just do a great job of out in an outdoor space that is a great outdoor living space for me. They can do structures that are standalone. They can do enclosures, room additions, sunrooms. They do it all. And the best part is the quality of the workmanship is off the charts. They're not going to be the cheapest place out there, but they're also not going to be the cheapest labor and the cheapest product and the cheapest materials. They build an awesome structure that you're going to get your dollar for dollar money back when you end up selling your home, if you end up selling your home. And more importantly, they're going to make your house a home. You're going to love your new patio. Look what they did for my janky-looking backyard, and then look what it looks like now by going to tcplance.com. That's tcplance.com, texascustompatios.com.
You know who it is.
This is Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Prime Social. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Oh, wow. Did you see this? Turns out George Lucas helped direct Game of Thrones Season 8 premiere. Yeah.
Well, he was in the...
That's why it's so nerdy.
Well, they do their behind-the-scenes stuff. He was on set for part of the season. I didn't know it was only episode 1, but they showed him. I mean, helped. He was there talking to people. He didn't really do anything.
That's why it was boring.
Whatever. I'm sorry. Did Ned Umba die? Didn't Ned Umba die? The little kid? You don't know who Ned Umba is? The only person who died in the entire show?
He was just introduced and he died.
Well, he was introduced last season.
When?
When Sansa wanted to take away his ancestral home and Jon was like, no.
Stop, nerds.
You don't remember that episode?
No.
Well, that's because you watch the show. You said you had a rewatch, but you didn't watch the show.
I missed the Umba part.
Well, it was pretty symbolic of Jon unifying the North. Congratulations, Jon. I know he's not Thorin Oakenshield, but it happened last season. You dwarf-loving nerd.
Do you want me to start quoting No, Lord we of the
don't.
Rings again?
We actually don't.
Because I'm tired of you. Is all Gandalf, of your Star Wars antics?
That was not Star Wars. That was Game of Thrones. Is it? And by the way,
well now it's Star Wars with George Lucas.
Is Gandalf
boring?
The gray or Gandalf the white? Your favorite?
Oh, how can it's like picking between kids. Okay, I love both of them. I love both of them. Mm. So Lance, where is okay? Because we got you. Okay, we got about 20 minutes here, and we know really, what we never do with you.
Are we really never going to mention the fact that James made somebody fall down the other day and then did a shimmy
and
before Sean missed a three?
And he missed it.
And one of my kids goes, "That's trash. If you do the shake, you gotta
make
do
it.
The shimmy. You
and
gotta
went
make
off
it.
The side of the rim too."
It would have been like
you wonder why
that would have been.
It would have been a.
Would
burial.
That have been better?
It would have
than
ended
the,
his career.
The Phoenix one
or the Clippers one? Where the
yes, he
down.
Gave him the. Mm.
I thought that was Phoenix. It wasn't.
I no. think it was Wesley
it was
Johnson.
Clippers.
He made
oh, yeah,
him
yeah,
fall
yeah.
down.
Yeah, yeah.
This
which one?
Though?
Which one was better?
And you wonder why some people don't like him.
Which one was better?
This generation loves that stuff, though.
The Wesley Johnson one. He made him fall, and he made the shot.
Well, but okay, if you'd have made that
the
shot, would this have been better? The shimmy would have been better.
Nah.
The shimmy was a little
guy,
extra disrespect.
It was extra disrespectful.
He would have got hit right in the back.
But the guy didn't
pitch.
Fall down. He stumbled, but the guy didn't hit the ground.
Hey, no, I know, but
the shimmy,
he didn't shimmy.
But that's – okay, so that's –
that's why he missed a
so
shot.
That,
he shimmied.
That is the equivalent of doing a pirouette and throwing – like Joey Bats.
Yeah.
Throwing – right?
And flying out.
They're showing it right there.
It's the equivalent of doing that and then and then flying out.
But
to the warning track.
Why in basketball is it considered disrespectful to dunk and put your junk in someone's face or stand
it.
Over them? But in baseball, people get all upset about being disrespected. Like there's rules. There's an unwritten rule in basketball is
well,
that
you
don't
step over people.
No, but it's the other way though.
But that it's no baseball is considered disrespectful too.
It's considered disrespectful. There's certain things in baseball like. Everyone beats up on baseball's unwritten rules, and I think a lot of it's dumb. But the one thing about they have their own rules. Like, I don't think it's for us to decide. It's guys who play a sport decide what is crossing the line and what isn't. It's not really for
but
fans.
But no, there would have been no retaliation for James. Like, baseball, there's retaliation because they see it as very disrespectful.
First of all, if somebody stands over you after they dunk, the first thing is you want to get up and get in their face. But it's basketball, so there's no retaliation.
Yeah, there's no real retaliation.
Back in the day,
there used to be.
Back in the day, you would have caught something.
Somebody's head would come off the line.
James did, the next time, if like as much as we the debate that we have consistently, for whatever reason, what's 90s basketball tough or not tough, if James did what he did, the shimmy, he would have got hit. I don't know how flagrant it would have been, but even did the shimmy. Next time he was in lane, someone would have popped
him. Next time he was in the lane, someone would
pop.
Not now, though.
No,
not now.
Do that against the Pistons.
Do that against anybody.
Against the Knicks.
Oh, Celtics, even Lakers. They had their tough guys.
Yeah.
There were some goons on some different teams.
No, you couldn't do that.
But now it's just like you're just allowed to do whatever.
That's nothing compared to stepping over somebody. You ain't getting away with it stepping. I mean, you're going to start some crap if you step over somebody.
Nothing's
still,
gonna happen.
Till this day,
nothing's going to happen.
Huh?
Nothing's going to happen.
Well,
they
I mean,
get up,
kid
and go,
up and
don't
yeah.
step on me.
Yeah.
Don't step over me. And then it's like.
Joel Embiid might fart on
the,
you.
The only difference is in baseball.
Did you see he farted
yeah,
on
it was
the
apparently
bench?
Rough. Yeah. It was rough for everybody.
Yeah, everybody was
but
like,
the only difference
the?
Is in baseball, there are repercussions for what you do. They police their sport. In hockey, they police their sport. Like if you take certain liberties, you're not supposed to. In football, you police your sport. Basketball is the one where it's just a finesse game. There's no police in a sport.
Yeah,
you
no.
can do whatever you want.
Yeah, no. That is true.
But you shouldn't. But people shouldn't. Like, everyone tries to put their own spin on what is acceptable and not acceptable in baseball. Let baseball players decide what's acceptable. Let them work it out. You're a fan. You don't know nothing. I don't know nothing.
Yeah, basketball players have decided
have
over
own.
Time that what James does or did in that situation is okay. It's fine.
They've
decided that's okay.
That's the way the game has transitioned. We can talk about the game did used to be more physical and all that stuff, but their game has changed and it's transitional what it is now. So it is what it is. But baseball is baseball has transitioned. Look, the Latin American influence is much heavier now than it was in like say the 80s, the 70s, the 80s. It is a heavily and the Latin American baseball, the Latin American players, the celebration is not considered. It's a celebration of self. And that's still considered kind of anti-baseball.
There were a lot of Latin American players back in the day now in the 70s and 80s.
Go look at the numbers. No, there were plenty,
but they didn't bring that same thing. That's just,
the numbers
it's
are substantially higher now. Because Venezuela wasn't really as represented. More countries are represented.
More countries. No, there's no question. There's more.
Now, I don't personally have a huge problem with it, but I'm not going to, when I say with it, I think there's ways that you can act disrespectful to a pitcher But hitting a home run and flipping your – I don't know that that's one that bothers me. And I think it doesn't bother a lot of pitchers.
Well, I don't know. Tim Anderson bothered them.
Yeah, I think it may have been what he yelled. I don't know what he yelled when he threw his bat.
Plus, he threw the bat. But, you know.
I don't – once
he's
again –
he's acting like a badass. You know what?
Hey, that's for them to work out.
Right.
Like, honestly, as a fan – and as a commentator on
well,
the radio
show.
Well,
out. He got hit next time. You know what I would have been chicken bleep, what I have always thought was chicken bleep? The guy at well, – but this is the best way to
hitting
retaliate.
A home run, so yeah.
If you hit a home run, the next guy up gets hit.
That's bull.
But actually, that's the best way to retaliate.
Your teammate will
because,
be like, what the hell?
Yeah, your teammate's like, dude, you're getting me hit. Well, yeah, I hit a home run. What? You know, or if you show off and the next guy gets hit.
Because hitting a home run really shouldn't be like
– no, but if you cost me – with your antics, that's the best way to retaliate.
Yeah, I think the argument turns into what are antics?
Well, showing up the pitcher.
But I think there are way different. There are going to be because I think Justin Verlander's idea of something, and you know, an old school pitcher
yeah.
versus a young hitter who's from. You know, who's from the Dominican Republic,
yeah.
they're going to have way different versions of what is disrespectful.
Absolutely.
Way different. It'll be completely different.
Absolutely. But guess what? You're here now. Learn our game. That's what the old guys are saying.
Assimilate.
That's right.
But it's not. But the game has changed, though. Remember how Barry Bonds couldn't get hit when he did? Barry Bonds did plenty of stuff
oh,
after
he
home
did
runs.
Plenty. Oh, remember?
He would have got planted.
Russ Springer hit him.
Russ Springer was one of the only people.
He took seven tries, but
so
he
it was
him.
Considered disrespectful what Barry would do with it if it was anyone else. But when Barry was hitting home runs,
no.
The only person who I ever saw challenge him was Russ Springer. That was the only
well,
person.
Well, because they were afraid he's on steroids. He roid rage. He might come out to the mound.
I mean,
he might go Juan Marichal.
Everyone's going to run in, and you're just as likely trying to break something up as get your hands.
No, I don't know why Barry Bonds got a pass.
He did, though.
He did.
I always felt that was kind of strange that Barry Bonds got a pass, who you knew was cheating. Of course, we found out a lot of guys are cheating. I mean, and frankly, probably more than anyone wants to admit now, were actually cheating, including Astros.
Yep.
Ken Caminiti was an Astro.
Watch your mouth, Lance.
I know.
Well, nobody was cheating on that Astros team. It's the other teams that
were
cheating.
Everyone else was cheating.
That's stupid.
You hate Houston.
Yeah. I was so.
Why are you a hater?
I was so. I was.
Naive.
You assume, I was very naive.
Yeah.
I just assumed balls were juiced, and man, I just they got to put these baseballs, get them back in the humidor.
We were talking
so
about McGuire, and I was like, I'm taking all that with a grain of salt.
Yeah, you thought he was cheating. Now we didn't think pitchers were cheating.
Darryl Hamilton,
RIP.
Yeah.
He came. He goes, what? He goes, let me ask you a question. Why do you always talk about hitters cheating and you never talk about the pitchers?
We're like, why would they?
Because pitchers would get all bulked up and they wouldn't be able to throw. What? You're stupid, Daryl. You don't know anything about baseball or steroids.
Yeah.
We were like telling this guy played. This guy played with Barry Bonds. We're like, you don't know anything about steroids.
Look, I know you've
don't know
been in the game
baseball.
A really long time, but you're stupid on this.
He's like, I watched him do his stuff. He goes, and you don't think? So let me get this straight. You don't think pitchers cheat? Like, no. Pitchers would never cheat, Daryl.
Yeah,
he goes, okay.
All right.
Okay, so I guess, what was his name? I guess Kevin Brown's totally 100%
totally
legit.
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, the guy who pitched game one and game three, of course he bounces
Kevin
back
Brown
like that.
Kevin Brown was the biggest cheater ever.
God. You mean the 100-mile-an-hour sinker pitching in with 2 days of rest?
Yeah. Yeah.
No problem.
All right, taking a break. Live at Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer. We got a way that you can get into and raise some money for charity next right here on ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Prime Social. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back to Prime Social. Steve, I want to change. We need a motto. I want to call it the best damn place in the world. All right? Prime Social. the best damn place in the world. That's what I'm going to call it. It's one of my favorite places. You know that?
You know
really,
what, you
I
know
love the action.
You also know when it was really great? When they first opened up, remember when there was the big buffet of food that you could just go get food at? That was awesome. You can still order food and have
That's
it rolled to your table.
Donuts. When he walks in, hey, I got donuts. Okay. Where's that? Yeah.
I mean, Lance, I mean, it would be nice
Lance,
if you brought kolaches
there's
in.
More
Maybe
to,
not on
there's more
this,
to poker than food.
This
free
particular
food.
Friday, okay. You can't bring the kolaches in. But
no. No, because it's it's Good Friday.
I know.
So we're not eating meat, okay?
I know.
All right. So thank God we didn't have any meat donuts today. Yeah. Some bacon donuts.
Bacon maple donuts?
What?
I would have just kept quiet.
So listen,
trust me.
Here at Prime Social, not only do they care about you as a person, but they care about charities as well. Hannah Eakes from Muscular Dystrophy Association is with us here on ESPN 97.5. And on Thursday, you're going to have a big tournament here. And I think this is going to take off, as opposed to golf tournaments all the time. Poker tournament. How much fun is that?
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about weather, right? And you can do it at night?
Mm-hmm.
All of these things, Hannah?
Yes.
This is something you thought up. You should get a raise. Hannah.
I'll tell my boss
Yes.
That.
I'm going to tell her. Or him. I don't know.
Her.
So here's the deal. On Thursday at 6 o'clock, right here at Prime Social, they're going to have a big tournament. MDA Houston Facebook is where you can find out the information. Suggested retail price, $200. But this is all going to charity. If you have anybody with muscular dystrophy or you know somebody or whatever, you just want to contribute, this is a great way to do it because you get to play and you could possibly win. What's the grand prize?
So the grand prize is an all-expense-paid trip to the larger poker tournament put on by Mansfield Cares. You get entry into the tournament and you get entry into their golf tournament. Free stay, free ride to the airport and back, food. So it's in Greensboro, Georgia on June 4th and stays at the Ritz-Carlton.
Oh, nice. How about that? You're at the Ritz-Carlton and you get entry into that big tournament, which will pay off. What's that big tournament?
5K in cash and gold.
Oh, nice.
Gold.
For first place.
Yes, for first place.
Five,
the bigger tournament. 5K
in cash and gold. Very nice. Yeah, it's like the all-in tournament here is they give gold. It's gold. So gold is a way that you can get around it is a way that you can pay off. So that
oh,
is
really?
The, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you come here on Thursday, 6 o'clock, be here early, a couple $100. But the main thing is obviously you can write it off as well because it's a charitable donation.
Yes.
Right? All of these things, and you're raising money for muscular dystrophy. You can find out about it at MDA Houston Facebook or PrimeSocialTX.com. You could go to either place. You got a link. You could go to it and find out more about the tournament. But we're trying to raise money for muscular dystrophy.
Correct.
And that's awfully nice. And Prime Social has teamed with you guys. That's great.
Yes, it's been really great working with them.
With Steve or
yes.
Probably Brent.
Steve, he's good.
Oh, Steve.
Yeah, he's fine.
It's great.
Steve's fine too.
Steve's
fine.
All right. that's how I described you on the show.
Steve's all right.
You were adequate.
So we'll also have food and drinks and raffle prizes, too, that you can buy into, like a Deshaun Watson football or a foursome at the Golf Club of Houston.
Oh, so you'll eat and drink, too, while you're playing?
Yes.
All of that will be complimentary with your $200.
Yes.
And there's second and third place prizes as well, right?
Yes. So second place is a Rainbow Lodge chef's table dinner for six.
Oh, nice.
And a weekend stay at the Houstonian. And then third place is a foursome at the Golf Club of Houston with a driver fitting at Club Champion.
Oh, nice. How awesome. And a stay at the Houstonian. How about that?
With breakfast. Yes.
Way to go. Way to go, Solis. Solis took care of that business. I know that. All right. So that is, here it is once again, MDA Houston Facebook or PrimeSocialTX.com. Hannah, good luck with the tournament.
Thank you.
That is awesome. Congratulations, and I hope you raise a lot of money.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, that's Hannah Eakes right here on ESPN 97.5. Thank you, Hannah.
Thank you.
So go to MDA Houston Facebook. MDA Houston Facebook or PrimeSocialTX.com. Good stuff. And raise money. Raise a lot of money. All right, Lance, we have you here, and Raheel's going to come in, and he ruins everything when he comes in. But we never talk about the draft with you.
Mm-hmm.
What? Okay, so are you
AJ
still?
AJ and Fred, my other number one show, does.
Well, you don't go on their show anymore.
Yeah, I just was on it yesterday.
I thought they shunned you now.
No, I usually do it on Mondays, but I'm out of town on Mondays. So
because they don't want you there.
So I said, guys, I'm here every Thursday, Friday. I'll be more than happy to jump on.
And they were like, oh, I guess.
And then the ratings came out. They went, wow, the number one show in the whole city, John and Lance. Let me get a little of that rub. So there I am. Now they found my number again. Now they found the number.
Oh, now they found your number.
Or they just walked out of the office and Aaron goes, hey, you got a second to pop on? You mean host? Yes, I do have a second to co-host.
Yeah, co-host.
Number one show.
All right, so Dwayne Haskins, have you changed back your opinion? Is he fallen?
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah, I don't think he makes it in the top 10.
You don't think he makes the top 10?
Dave Gettleman.
So who do the Giants take?
I think they take a defensive end. Montez Sweat, potentially. Rashawn Gary. They could look offensive line. That could be the earliest they look at an offensive tackle like Juwan Taylor, Andre Dillard. Dave Gettleman already came out and said, we're not going to push the quarterback thing. He told you that last year, and he wasn't joking around. Dave Gettleman doesn't joke around when he says things. When he says, I'm not going to push the quarterback thing, I think he could move back and still take maybe Daniel Jones, maybe Haskins, I don't know. But he's got 17th pick, too.
Well, so he could also move back and take a receiver, couldn't he?
Yeah, but no, Giants fans get super mad when you mention wide receiver to them. I found that out when I – yeah, if you give them wide receiver,
they get Shepherd?
They get really mad. I don't know. You tell me. What's so great? I know they have Evan Engram and they have Shepherd, and I think they added one other guy. I'm like, you guys still don't have a wide receiver one.
Maybe because when they did, it didn't really amount to anything. Maybe I don't know their mindset.
Well, DK Metcalf, I think, is going to fall. I thought he was going to, you know, he's got all these traits. He's big. He's fast. But the tape is not, like, he's not even the best wide receiver on his team. But he projects to potentially be the best wide receiver to come out of this draft. But he's got to get a lot better. Could he be Josh Gordon from a talent standpoint? Maybe. But the other argument could be made. Ooh. I mean, Josh is a special talent. Special. And I'm not talking about his off the field stuff. Josh Gordon as a talent is a special talent. When he was in Cleveland. But the other name that gets thrown out there is Darius Hayward Bay. That's not what you want. That's a height, weight, speed guy. Or who was it that was at South Carolina, who the Vikings drafted? Williamson. Oh. The wide receiver back in the mid-2000s who they drafted, who was just height, weight, speed guy, but didn't amount to much from South Carolina, Williamson. That would be the other one. And there's potential for that. So if you need wide receiver, this is not a great year to have a top 10 pick.
What about Montez Sweat there? So that story came out that he's maybe got a heart murmur and he's off a couple draft boards.
So Sweat is on the board, I think, for more teams than he's not, which I think is because – Maurice Hurst, who had the same thing last year. There's some teams who say, we don't want a player potentially dying on the field. They just break it down to you that simple. But Maurice Hurst fell all the way to the fifth round. He played well for the Raiders last year, pretty well, 4.5 sacks. I think that really benefited Montez Sweat, who people were saying, okay, we were worried about it. There's a chance he could fall off some teams' boards. I think Sweat goes anywhere from 4 to 14, anywhere from the Raiders to number 14 at the Atlanta Falcons. I think that's his landing spot. I don't think he'll get any further than like 17, the Giants, in the second pick of the first round. That's the farthest he would fall. Dwayne Haskins could fall potentially to number 11 at the Cincinnati Bengals, number 15 to Washington, or number 17 or a trade-up spot, or to number 17 to the Giants. 13 is not drafting a quarterback. The Miami Dolphins are trying to tank, so they're not going to draft a quarterback. Ed Oliver, look at him at number 4 and number 9 are the two spots I hear on Eric and Ed Oliver. Greedy Williams could fall in this draft. There's concerns about how much about his football character and why he didn't play as well, and he's not a real strong guy at 100-some-odd pounds. The first cornerback off the board could potentially be Byron Murphy, which – it's strange because he's not even 6 foot and he ran a 4.55. Like, that's highly unusual, but that's what you're dealing with cornerbacks. This is not a great year for high-end cornerbacks as well. But if you're the Texans and you say, well, we need – is there anything in the second round? Actually, yeah, the draft strength is probably in the second round for cornerbacks. So it's a good time to draft corners in the second and third round. It's a good time to draft offensive linemen in the first round as long as you're not just locked in on a left tackle. The Texans can go get a good center. Like Garrett Bradbury could be there on the board for them. Eric McCoy, who I like a lot out of Texas A&M, if you traded back, center or guard, he could play. And then you got Caleb McGarry, Dalton Reisner. I think there's a lot of guys the Texans could draft who are better than what they're putting out on the field right now. Mm. The Texans should get better, and they can get a lot of those guys that they trade back.
All right, we'll continue. Well, I'd love to continue some draft. We got one of the national experts here.
Who?
And you? That's yeah, all
me,
you
Del.
Want.
Who?
That's all
me.
You want to talk I about asked, is the A team.
I asked.
Oh, you
talk, that's you.
Did you bring it up? And then I sang the song, or did he bring it up and I sang the song? I didn't bring it up first.
I kind of.
And
did.
But you jumped in fast.
Because I love that song.
Let's talk about some testosterone here. And Raheel, I didn't really mean it that you ruin everything. Not everything.
Some you know. Things.
Oh, he's okay. Number one.
It's Good Friday, so this is Raheel's day. This is Raheel's weekend right here, Holy Weekend.
What are we talking about today, right now?
You're about testosterone this weekend.
So at Men's T Clinic, one of the things they do is they check your levels. And what I mean by that is once they determine that you're low in testosterone, you determine whether or not you want to get treated for that. And if you say yes, they work with your insurance company to get it covered or as much of it covered as possible because it's a huge quality of life issue. But it's also, you know, think about this. One of the body type issues is when your testosterone level goes down, your metabolism really slows down and you can't maintain the lean muscle mass that you once did. And so what you end up finding out is that when you get your testosterone level back to where it should be, and let's say you are also working out at that time, you're going to see amazing results. You're going to see definite results with your body type, and you see it relatively quickly. And that all it takes is for you to go out there and just get tested first and foremost. And there's so many benefits to having your testosterone level where it's supposed to be. But to that end, Men's T Clinic will also continue to monitor you quarterly to make sure that your levels are where they're supposed to be. If they need to increase dosage or decrease, they will do that. If there's anything that they need to alter or change, they're making sure that they keep track of this level and that level for your own personal health and safety. It's what they do. They care more and they do more for you at Men's T Clinic. If you're with another group and you've been diagnosed as low in testosterone but you're not seeing results and benefits, get with a company that knows what they're doing and that goes that extra mile to get you to where you need to be so that you can live your best life. MensTClinic.com. 4 locations in the Houston area. To find a location nearest you, go to MensTClinic.com.
ESPN 97.5.